Welcome to episode 62 of the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. There's always a lot of talk in the forums about how sharp this lens is, how sharp that lens is. Although getting advice from people that already own and are using a particular lens will always be helpful, and online reviews can really help in making up your mind whether or not to take the plunge on any particular lens. Another way to judge for ourselves if a lens will really cut it is to view its MTF chart. MTF charts are subject to some variance, so by all means don't make them your single point of reference. As a great starting point though, we can compare any particular lens's MTF chart with that of a lens that we already own, for example, to see if it would provide better or worse results. Having a baseline to compare with will hopefully help. MTF charts created by various manufacturers though, they do vary, so it's not advisable to compare, say, a Canon and a Nikon lens's MTF chart. Many manufacturers don't even publish MTF charts. Canon, for example, releases a chart for almost all of their lenses, while Nikon does not, at least not in the US. You can find the MTF charts for Nikon lenses on the Japanese website, though. I'll drop a link into a number of links into the show notes to Canon and Nikon websites, but the Nikon website will be to the Japan website. So what I'll do is I'll put a number of links in there that will take you straight to some of the pages, and that should relieve the pain of having to search through the Japanese pages. So let's get started and try to make sense of all of those squiggly lines. So if you're listening at a computer, please look at the show notes either in iTunes or on the podcast page at martinbaileyphotography.com and jump to either the Canon or the Nikon website and select one of the lenses and take a look at the MTF chart at the bottom of the page. If the page you look at doesn't have a chart, then just go back to the lens list and keep looking until you find one that does. If you are listening while away from a computer, try to recall what an MTF chart looks like. It's a small square graph with 0 to 1 in 0.1 steps going up the vertical axis on the left-hand side, and we also can see 0 to 20 in steps of 5 going along the horizontal axis, with a little bit more space after the 20. Along the top are a number of solid and dotted white lines, and they will often sort of stretch down. I say the top, they'll often stretch down to around the middle and maybe even lower portions of the chart. The lines, depending on the manufacturer, will be different colors, some solid, some dotted. We'll get to the meaning of all of these lines in a moment, but if you aren't already looking at a chart, hopefully now you'll have recalled seeing one of these charts at some time in the past. It would also be great if you could take a look later when you get back to a computer. In starting to understand an MTF chart, we should think of the vertical axis of the chart as the lens's axis. That's if we draw an imaginary line straight down the center of the lens's cylinder, from the front element to the back, or vice versa, it would coincide with the left-hand side vertical axis of the MTF chart. The numbers 0 to 1 in 0.1 steps can be thought of as 0 to 100%. The 0 to 20 along the bottom is millimeters. As the chart actually extends a little further past 20, we need to think of this as being roughly 22 millimeters. This is basically the number of millimeters from the center of the image, which is about 22 millimeters. Note that we're talking about the image on the film or digital sensor, not 20 millimeters from the center of any single lens element, which of course can be much larger. Remember that a piece of 35mm film or full-size digital image sensor is 24mm high and 36mm wide. This means that the diagonal line across the film or sensor is fractionally over 43mm. So a chart of the radius of the lens at 22mm would give us an image of 44mm that's necessary to create a 35mm camera's image circle. MTF stands for modulation transfer function, which is the normalized spatial frequency response of the lens. Now, before you switch me off and start listening to a nice, easy to understand podcast, let me explain spatial frequency and how it's measured. It really isn't that difficult, so please bear with me. If it's tough to understand though, just rewind a little and listen again. Basically, we're dealing with measurements of contrast and resolution of patterns of pairs of lines per millimeter. Contrast is measured using patterns of 10 pairs of lines per millimeter, and resolution is measured using patterns of 30 pairs of lines per millimeter. Now, by pairs of lines, I mean one white line and one black line. You could say that this is just one line, and you would not be wrong, as a white line alone does not make a line. And it needs a black line to exist. But let's understand that 30 pairs of lines means 30 black lines separated by 30 white lines. Anyway, I'm not sure if what I'm about to say is a very good scientific explanation. And to be honest, if it helps me to understand these charts and helps you to understand these charts, then I really don't care. But let's think of spatial frequency quite simply as how frequently, quote unquote, a pair of lines appears in the space, quote unquote, of 1 millimeter. I'm going to repeat that. How frequently a pair of lines appears in the space of 1 millimeter is the spatial frequency. So what do all of the lines on the chart mean? Well, in the Canon MTF charts, you'll notice 8 lines. There are thin and thick black and blue solid lines and thin and thick black and blue broken lines. The thick lines represent measurements of patterns of pairs of 10 lines per millimeter, or the contrast of the lens. And the thin lines represent measurements of 30 line pairs per millimeter, or the resolution of the lens. The black lines are measurements taken with the lens wide open at its widest aperture, and the blue lines represent measurements taken with the lens at f8. The solid lines represent sagittal measurements, which are sets of lines parallel to a line drawn from the center of the lens to the edge. And the broken lines represent meridional measurements, which are sets of lines running at 90 degrees to the lens's axis. Multiple pairs of meridional and sagittal line patterns at right angles to each other are measured diagonally across the 35mm frame. On Nikon MTF charts, you'll notice only thin blue and red lines, both solid and broken, making a total of 4 lines. From the Nikon Japan website, I see that the red lines represent 10 line pairs per millimeter measurements, and the blue lines represent 30 line pairs per millimeter measurement. Unbroken lines represent the sagittal line patterns, and that's the lines running parallel to a line drawn from the center of the lens to the edge. And the broken lines again represent the meridional line patterns, which are lines running at 90 degrees to the lens axis. So now that we know what the various lines mean, how do we make sense of the MTF charts? Basically, the higher up the chart the 10 line pairs per millimeter line, that's the thick line on the Canon charts or the red lines on the Nikon charts, are, the higher the contrast reproduction capability of the lens will be. The higher up the chart, the 30 line pairs per millimeter line, that's the thin lines on the Canon or the blue lines on the Nikon charts, the higher the resolving power, which means the lens will give you sharper images. Remember that for Canon charts, the black lines show the lens wide open while the blue lines show the lens stopped down to f8. So we can compare how well the lens will perform wide open compared to f8, which is usually considered the sharpest aperture for most lenses. Lenses that have black and blue lines close together will perform pretty much the same wide open as they would at f8. In one book that I have from Canon, it states that if the thick lines on the Canon charts that represent the 10 line pairs per millimeter are above 0.8, then that lens will have excellent image quality. It also states that above 0.6 will be satisfactory. Let's take a look at Canon's 50mm f1.4 lenses MTF chart to put all of this into practice. Hopefully you're at a computer and can follow along. If you can see the show notes, find the first link which will take you to a flash MTF chart on Canon Japan's website. Because this chart is made with flash, you can maximize your browser window to view the chart much larger than usual, which will make it easier to follow. If we look first at the thick black solid line, which represents the measurement of the 10 line pairs per millimeter with the lens's aperture wide open at f1.4, we can see that the line is running from between the 0.7 and the 0.8 lines on the left, which is the center of the lens, right down to just over 0.2 on the right-hand side of the chart. So we can learn from this that the lens has pretty good contrast in the middle, but that drops off to pretty low levels on the outer 5mm, around the outer 5mm of the lens. If we look at the thick solid blue line, we can see that this is the measurement for the 10 line pairs per millimeter with the lens stopped down to f8. So we can see that this lens has excellent contrast throughout at f8. The thick blue line is only just below the top of the chart, all the way around, all the way across the lens, right to the outer 3mm of the lens, and then it just drops down to just fractionally below 0.9, which is still very, very good. Let's look at the thin solid lines now to see what we can learn. Firstly, again, let's look at the thin solid black line, which is a measurement of the 30 line pairs per millimeter with the lens wide open at f1.4. We can see from this that the center of the lens's resolution is only 0.5, and it drops off to between 0.1 and 0.2 on the outer edge of the lens, which is the right-hand side of the chart. This shows us that the resolution of this lens is really not that great when it's wide open. I own one of these lenses and I can tell you that this is very true. This is a beautiful lens with a wide following. Many people swear by this lens, but anyone that's used it wide open at f1.4 will be able to tell you that it's really quite soft. This is, though, exactly the reason why most people buy the lens, in addition to it just being incredibly bright. If we look at the solid thin blue line, we can see that the lens has excellent resolution when stopped down to f8, right until the outer 3mm of the lens, that is. The line is meandering around the 0.9 line until around 17mm, and then it drops to 0.8 at around 19mm, which really tells us that it's a very sharp lens pretty much throughout when you stop down to f8. So far we've looked only at the solid lines, and I think that you will now be getting the picture, but the solid lines, if you remember, are for the sagittal measurements, which are the sets of parallel lines that we can draw from the center to the edge of the lens. The broken lines are the meridional measurements, which are the sets of lines running at 90 degrees to the lens axis. If we look at the chart, we can see that each pair of solid and broken lines is running pretty closely together. I'm not going to work through all of the broken lines as I just did for the solid ones, but the thing to note here is that the closer these solid lines and the broken lines are to each other, the better the lens's bokeh is going to be, and that's the area that's out of focus, either before or behind the subject that you're focusing on. That's another reason why people really like this lens, because it has basically the most beautiful bokeh. And we've just confirmed that by looking at the chart. You'll also notice that this chart, at a first glance, it looks pretty bad. It doesn't look that great. But with the knowledge to read it properly, you can appreciate the benefits of such a lens. And also bear in mind that this lens, the wide open readings for this lens, represented by the black lines, are actually at f1.4. So we could close down or stop down two full stops to sharpen up the image a little, and we'd still only be at f2.8, which is the starting point for most other lenses. So it's really not surprising that the chart looks a little rough at first glance. Most charts I've looked at start off relatively high on the left, and then they start to taper off, and sometimes gradually, sometimes much more sharply as the lines move across to the right. This shows us that the lenses are sharper in the middle than around the edges. Notice that for prime lenses there will only be one MTF chart, but for zoom lenses you'll usually see two charts, one for the wide and one for the telephoto end of the zoom range. If we compare these pairs of charts for a zoom lens, we can see how good a zoom lens will be at one end of its zoom range compared to the other. An age-old topic that crops up in our forum, and I'm sure in many other forums, is how much sharper prime lenses are compared to zoom lenses. One that came up recently in our forum at the martinbaileyphotography.com website was a comparison of the Canon EF 400mm f2.8 IS lens compared to the 100-400mm f4.5 to 5.6 IS lens. An interesting thing that you might want to try here is go to the Canon website and open two windows, one showing the 400mm f2.8 and one showing the 100-400mm lens, and compare the same focal lengths, the 400mm. I'll actually drop two links into the show notes for the flash versions of these MTF charts as well, so you can just open those and view them large if you like. But you'll see that the 100-400mm at 400mm is, although a very respectable lens, it does drop off quite sharply towards the edge. But the 400mm f2.8 has five of the eight lines running almost across the top of the chart for the entire width of the lens, with just three lines dropping below 0.9 from around 10mm from the center of the lens, but staying above 0.8 to the very edge. So this shows us that the 400mm is one hell of a sharp lens. So today's episode might have been pretty heavy going, but hopefully if you weren't up on this before, you should now be armed with the knowledge to make a more educated decision on any future lenses that you consider adding to your arsenal. Please do also make use of online reviews and asking others' opinions too, as the MTF charts do not always tell the whole story. Also, please don't just try to find a lens that has all the lines running along the top. The perfect lens does not exist, even if the 400mm f2.8 comes close. So have a great week, whatever you're doing. Bye bye.
PhotoCastNetwork.com, your photography resource in the podosphere. PhotoCastNetwork.com.